Father, thank you for this beautiful day, Lord, the first day of the week. Father, to learn more about Bible doctrine. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity that we have to gather here with freedom, Father, to understand, to learn about your word and understand it through the power of the Holy Spirit. Father, give us wisdom to understand your word this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Please open your Bibles to Acts chapter 11, verse 5. We can read all the way to 16 so you can see the background. And in verse 5 says, I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision, an object coming down like a great sheet lowered by four corners from the sky, and it came right down to me. And when I had fixed my gaze on it and was observing it, I saw the four-footed animals of the earth and the wild beasts and the crawling creatures and the birds of the air. And I also heard a voice saying to me, get up, Peter, kill and eat. But I said, by no means, Lord, for nothing unholy or unclean has ever entered my mouth. But a voice from heaven answered a second time, what God has cleansed, no longer consider unholy. This happened three times, and everything was drawn back up into the sky. And behold, at that moment, three men appeared at the house in which we were staying, having been sent from Caesarea. The Spirit told me to go with them without misgivings. These six brethren also went with me, and we entered the man's house. And he reported to us how he had seen the angel standing in his house and saying, send to Joppa and have Simon, who is also called Peter, brought here. And he will speak words to you by which you will be saved, you and all your household. And as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them, just as he did upon us all at the beginning. And I remember the word of the Lord, how he used to say, John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So, in this passage, we're going to see how does God actually go about guiding people. So, as we can see in this passage, sometimes you always hear believers, God is leading me to do this, God is leading me to do that, you know. But in this passage, it's actually in this narrative of Peter and Cornelius. That's the mechanics of the guidance that I brought out in this chapter. Now, if we go back to verse 1, we understand what was happening. The Gentiles, actually in Pentecost, they receive also the Holy Spirit. And it was basically a controversy with the Jewish believers. So how can the Gentiles be in the church? So we can see how they were in opposition from legalism. So I got a few points here. Guidance through prayer. So actually I got 7 points. But the first point is guidance through prayer. So what was Peter doing? He was praying. So that's the one thing we have to understand. Peter relates his experience. He says, I was in the city of Joppa praying. That's what he was doing. In a trance. And I saw a vision. A certain object coming down like a great sheet, lowered by four corners from the sky, and it came down right to me. So in other words, he saw it coming, but it ended up right next to him. So again, you can see that guidance through prayer is authentic only when a believer is confronted with a situation which is not specified as a direct statement in the Bible. For example, we don't pray for guidance how to marry an unbeliever, because it is prohibited in the Word of God to marry an unbeliever. So you don't pray for that. But when something is not specifically in the Word of God, and then we pray for that guidance. However, we certainly may seek guidance through prayer. Many of us, if we have something going on in our lives, we want guidance through prayer. And we ask God for the guidance. But it has to go with the Word of God. You can ask something that is not in the Word of God. So that's how we see guidance through prayer. Now, there are many times when believers go to the throne of grace and they ask for a legitimate need. As it says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 6, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Often, it is a time when we need guidance in a particular matter. Each one of us have a different need. And we have a specific need before the throne of grace. And we go there and we put it before the throne of God and we ask for that guidance. But through categorical doctrines, we also know how to ask for that guidance. And thus, we go directly to Him and ask for it. So God provides that guidance as we seek it through prayer. So point two, I have guidance through the mind. What does that mean? That's in verse 6. It says, and when I had fixed my gaze on it and was observing it, I saw the four-footed animals of the earth and the wild beasts and the crawling creatures and the birds of the air. So what he was doing, he was observing it. See, this word observing is imperfect active indicative in the Greek. It means to put your mind down on something, to ponder it very carefully. That's what Peter was doing. He saw it and he kind of gazed on it. He was looking at it. What is that? But it came to him, you know, and he was looking at, what is that? And of course what he saw is not what he expected. God always leads in compliance with his word, never the contrary to his word. And that's something that we must understand as believers. He's always in compliance with his word. If you always hear people say, well, this is the will of God for my life, but it's not biblical, it cannot be. It has to be biblical. And it's through the word of God. Now, in Romans chapter 8, verse 4, it says, for all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. See, that's the reason why we have the Spirit of God. As a believer, we have the Spirit of God. These things are spiritual. Otherwise, we're not going to understand them. So as we have the Bible doctrine in our souls, we understand basically the guidance of God through this. And that's how we're going to do it. Most people, they may just get to, they will follow their experiences. But God is very specific in his plan and guidance on our life to be the believer. It has to come through categorical doctrine. Otherwise, it's not from God. It is our own feelings and emotions we follow. The more we know about the Word of God, the more we know about the will of God. That's how God works. The more we know about the Word of God, the more we know about the will of God. So, were it not for doctrine and Peter's soul, he walked with the Lord Jesus for 3 years. So he heard, even though he wasn't in all the time, but he heard, you know, specific teachings from him. And he remembered that. He pondered on these things. So what he saw, he recognized God's will through correlating these things with his knowledge of the Word. Under the concept of divine guidance, God intends for the believer to use his mental abilities. And that pastor was talking about the mental, the emotions of the soul, the mental activity of the mind, how we think with Bible doctrine. What do you think? What are we thinking in regard to Bible doctrine? What are we thinking when we are walking under the power of the Holy Spirit? What are we thinking? Now, when we are walking under the power of the old sin nature, what are we thinking? You see, all in our mind, our thinking has to be God as believers. When we allow ourselves to fall into the old sin nature, you know what happens? That belongs to Satan, the old sin nature, the old me. But under the power of the Holy Spirit, we're thinking God, we're thinking Christ, we're thinking categorical doctrines. That's what we think. Guidance in our lives. We're praying to God to guide us to things. But it's so important for us to recognize where is our mind, where is our thinking. Because all starts from the heart. And then to our frame of reference. What's in our frame of reference? Now, guidance through the Word of God. That's verses 7 to 10. And it says, and I also heard a voice saying to me, arise, Peter, kill and eat. But I said, by no means, Lord, for nothing holy or unclean has ever entered my mouth. But a voice from heaven answered a second time, what God has cleansed, no longer consider unholy. And this happened 3 times, and everything was drawn back into the sky. Peter said, I also heard a voice saying to me, that's what he was saying. Now that was before the canon of scripture was completed. You know, this is the time that we didn't have the canon of scripture yet. The New Testament hasn't been written yet. So of course, Peter was under the ministry of the Holy Spirit hearing these things. So now we have the completed canon of scripture. That's how we communicate doctrine to believers. And Peter said, I also heard a voice saying to me. Now, there was a direct communication. This is from the Old Testament, the spoken word of God. When the prophet used to come, they said, thus saith the Lord. That's what the prophet said. They always had also dreams. They had visions. Just a trance, just like Peter had. But that was before the canon of scripture was finished. Now, after 90 AD, the the canon of scripture was completed and it was healed. I always tell people, if you hear somebody saying they had a vision, they ate too much pizza the night before. In fact, in the Yucatan Peninsula right now, there's a woman that said that she wrote the whole Bible, that she has a new revelation. And you know what the Word of God says. You cannot add to the Word of God. If you preach something contrary to what the Word of God says, that would be anathema. But she claims that she got a new vision. So you know where that comes from. Joseph Smith said the same thing. Jehovah's Witnesses wrote their own Bible, denying Jesus Christ. So you can see how the enemy is working in those areas, not just in that country, but also in this country, with the same religion going around. So it's working as hard here as it's working so hard in those countries as well. So Peter was guided through divine revelation, which in this case was a trance and the spoken word. Again, we have the complete canon of scripture in our hands right now. And every day, every morning is fresh, because God is. When you read something, it's fresh as the dew in the morning. It's a new revelation. From faith to faith, God reveals that in you. That's why He has the apocalypto. You know, it's the internal revelation of God's righteousness into us. His word is not phanerel. That's the manifestation. Apocalypto is the internal senses of who God is. The veracity, all the essence of God reveals to us. And by faith, we believe Him. And we take His word. And by faith, we take His word. And by faith, we believe in Him. The angels don't need faith. They can see God. We do. And that's why God is pleased with us, because without seeing Him, by faith we believe Him, because of that apocalypto, that revealed revelation, the uncovered revelation through us. And through His word we see that. Point 4, we have guidance through providential circumstances. We find this in verse 11. And behold, at that moment, three men appeared before the house in which we were staying, having been sent from Caesarea. Three men had a day's journey. That's not long, because in those days they didn't have a BMWs. They walked everywhere, all the way from Joppa to Caesarea, or Caesarea to Joppa backwards, and arrived at the house of Cornelius, if you remember. And there are providential circumstances, and we must be careful with providential circumstances, because they can be deceptive. Sometimes they are to test us. Those providential circumstances it's for us to be tested with regard to knowing the will of God. And if a door is opening that is contrary to Bible doctrine, and you go through those doors, it just means that we know the Bible doctrine. We're ignorant about Bible doctrine, because God opens doors for us to go through according to His plan in our lives. He's not going to place you somewhere if God doesn't want you there. Now, if you go willingly, now, you still may be in the will of God, but not in the right geographical will of God. That's why it's so dangerous for young missionaries and young pastors that finish Bible college, and they say, oh, the Lord is leading me to go here. And they get there, 1 year later, they want to come home. They want to see mom and daddy. Because they're not ready. They went there by emotions. And then things get tough. They got there. You used to your air condition, and now it's 110 degrees. Home looks very good. Yeah. It's tough. It's not easy. Because some people, they love the air condition. They set the temperature 68 degrees. And you go where it's almost double with the humidity. Home looks very good. And then not only the circumstances changes, but also the enemy is bombarding them, whispering to the ears, really, God sent you here? See what I'm saying? We not only get attacked by, you know, the aspects of the daily pressures of life, like Paul says, but the enemy at the same time, he attacks the believer, a mature believer. Believer says, well, that's because you have the old sin nature. Eve didn't have the old sin nature.
Eve had a body, soul, and spirit. He wasn't out of fellowship. Do you know what I'm saying? But he whispered to her, "Did God say not to eat that fruit?" And she did eat it because she listened to Satan, and that's her biggest mistake. He called her, told Satan, "Be gone, Satan." But she listened. See, as a mature believer, sometimes we have to be careful. Sometimes we think that we have so much Bible doctrine in us that Satan is not going to touch us. It's backwards. He's going to touch us more because he doesn't want you to go and share the gospel, share the word, and become a good influence to the lost world. So we see how sometimes we become so naive against the principalities of the air. But that's how he attacks us. The more doctrine you have, the more he's going to attack you. That's how he works. So now, point 5, have a guidance through the Holy Spirit. That's in verse 12. "And the Spirit told me to go with them without misgivings. And these 6 brethren also went with me, and we entered the man's house." The principle. The Holy Spirit never guides the believer apart from the Word of God. We must get that in our heads. Never leads the believer apart from the Word of God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 19 and also Ephesians chapter 4 verse 30. Therefore again, we have the necessity for the filling of the Holy Spirit. That's necessary. Every second of life. As soon as we drop the guard and we become entangled under the power of the all-seeing nature, it's all over. And the danger is, how long are you staying out of fellowship? That's another issue. How long are we staying out of fellowship? When that jerk cuts you off in the bellway, how does the rest of your day go? You get a ticket in the way to work, how does the rest of your day go? See, Satan loves those opportunities. He goes, got you. That's what he says. I got those lovely Christians. Call themselves Christians. And guess what he does? And he goes, "Aren't they your children, God? Aren't they your children? That's why these other angels follow me. Because you created those little ones of yours. That's why you're weak." That's why he tells the Lord, "You're weak. That's why these fallen angels follow me. Because I'm strong. And I'll take you down." That's why he tells the Lord. He's accusing us before him. Well, we know what the Lord's answer is. It is finished. Be gone, Satan. The Lord used scripture to kick Satan out. And he would do that after, over and over and over and over. And we as believers do the same thing. We have the power because Christ gave us the power. When he said, "You tell the mountain," you didn't sit in and say, "You pray to me for me to move the mountain." You pray to the mountain yourself. I gave you the power, the authority to do that. The same way we pray for people. You pray for somebody to be healed and you get surprised because that person is healed. Why do you pray then? He gave you the power and the authority to do such things. We have the power. And that's what he told us. So, guidance through comparison. It's from verse 13 all the way to 15. "And he reported to us how he had seen the angel standing in his house and saying, 'Send to Joppa and have Simon, who is also called Peter, brought here. And he shall speak words to you by which you will be saved, you and all your household.' And as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them just as he did upon us at the beginning." Now, as you can see right here, Cornelius and Peter compare notes. That's why you're saying, "Pastor, God, that's how God works. He told Cornelius this, he told Peter this." And they both compare notes. Yes, this is from the Lord. It wasn't from Peter's emotions. It wasn't from Cornelius' emotions. They compare notes and say, "Yes, this is from the Lord." And that's exactly what Peter went and told the church in Jerusalem. Because that's exactly what happened. It's a legitimate function of God the Holy Spirit. So it's the guidance through comparison. Pastor Stevens will tell you, you have a verse in the Old Testament. You have a verse in the New Testament. The parallel of Scripture tells the same truth, dogmatic doctrine. That's what we're doing here. To compare the notes, that yes, this is from the Lord. And as they were speaking, the Holy Spirit fell upon them. That's from the Lord. As He did just from the beginning. So this parallel phenomenon, of course, as it happened, this confirmed the fact that the Gentiles are in the church age, just as the Jews, which was so hard for them to believe. So point 7, last, I have guidance to remembering Scripture. Here's why sometimes it's so important that we understand to remember Scripture. Because here Peter remembers that, what the Lord said. He says, "And I remember the word of the Lord, how He used to say, John baptized with water, but you shall be baptized by the Holy Spirit." Now, as you know, Peter didn't review his sermons. Oh, let's see what the Lord says, look in his notes. He remembered what the Lord said. And now, he did make it very clear that what Jesus spoke, actually in Acts chapter 1 verse 5, as Peter remembered, of course, he contributed all of this to what happened with Cornelius and him. Because when he went to the church in Jerusalem, he said, this is what the Lord said. And this is exactly what happened. I was praying, and I saw an angel, and I saw this sheet coming down, and I told the Lord that I'm not going to eat it. And then He told me that what I have done is holy. What I call holy, you're not going to call unholy. At the same time, this also happened. So He's confirming to the church in Jerusalem, this is exactly what happened. So that's guidance, of course, to remember Scripture. So to summarize these principles of guidance, first and foremost, the will of God is contained in one book. This is the book that we hold. It's in one book, the Word of God. We must know the Word of God to do the will of God. Secondly, to execute the will of God, we must have the power to do so. God's will cannot be executed in the energy of the flesh. It is impossible. It is humanly impossible. The only way to execute the will of God is through the power of God, the Holy Spirit. There's no other way. That's the only way. And as a result of being filled with the Spirit, to the principle of 1 John 1:9, God is faithful and just to forgive you all your sins. If you just confess it. But that's the principle. We can yield to God's will. Not just when we know it, but even before we know it. In other words, we are here to do His will. And therefore, we are willing to do His will. That's the whole thing. If we know His word, we will do His will because we're willing to do His will under the power of the Holy Spirit. If you're in the energy of the flesh, it's impossible. You will not have, well, you are disobedient to begin with. So how do you expect to do that? But if you are under the influence of the Holy Spirit, God will give you the power to understand His plan for your life and to do His will. And whatever that is in your life, you will follow that because you know that you're walking side by side with Him. I believe that believers in the whole United States, I mean in the world, most of them are not walking by the Spirit. They're not led by the Spirit. Most believers are quenching the Holy Spirit. They don't repent. They don't change their mind towards what they're doing. They are there in their own little lives and they don't do the work of God. But they are so far away from repentance. And that's the biggest excuse the enemy needs to come and destroy the church, the body of Christ. And that's exactly what's happening in this country, unfortunately. They are there doing their own things. Set aside the things of God. Because they fail to rebound when sin came into their lives. When they allow sin to come into their lives. And they don't know the doctrines how to rebound. And they'd rather go and see a psychiatrist to help them out. Which has nothing to do with the Word of God. rather than allowing the Holy Spirit to help them rebound to the power of the Holy Spirit. Unfortunately, things is going to get worse. As in 1 Timothy chapter 4 says, men will be lovers of themselves. You know, they want to hear messages, they're going to tickle their ears, they're going to feel good about it. They're going to hate categorical Bible doctrine because it will be way too difficult for them. It's too much work. It's like going to college. But they fail to realize that's how you're going to grow in maturity. And those ones that are doing that, the remnant, of course, they're the ones who will continue until the future, until the Lord comes back. Amen?